Kuf Ayin Aleph, Sif Beis. Lo Yeshev Adam Al Kupa Malaya Te'enim Ugrogris. Lo Yeshev Al Yigo Shadvelo Al Shkupa Malaya Kitnius. So these were pressed together items. So if they make a take the pressed figs and dry them together, and they make a cake out of it. It's a very large cake. You could actually, like, you picture some of those large cheeses that they make out, you know, in the Wisconsin. You know, they were hundreds of pounds. So you want to sit in that. So he wants to sit in this eagle shadvel. It's mutter because they're hard and they won't get smushed from it. However, if you have a box which has regular te'enim in it, figs or or dates, so then you sit on them, it's going to crush down and mush them, and that's going to make them not usable, and that's considered bizoyachla. The same thing with kitnios, even though the nature of the beans is that they're hard and they're not going to get mushy and not become unusable. Sifkat yud beis kubah malei tenim dafka bekubah shal nitzarim. We're talking about the basket or the box is made out of like a weave of a wicker. Thank you. Shinichvefis, that bends. V'cholim ismachim and imosim. Therefore, it'll put pressure down onto the food and make the food mushy and it'll become unusable. Shall eat if it's a strong wooden box. The fact that it has contents inside doesn't bother us. Sure, that's mutter. Shall dvela shem kosher menim ismachim. And the ego shall dwell is hard and it won't get mushy. Kitnius, Yudalin, Shavak Shakupa Hinitzarm over there, even though the basket or the box is made out of this wicker, the kitnius ba'atzman kashamain, but the beans themselves are hard and they're not gonna get mushy and become unusable. Okay. Sif Gimel. Mutter lechol daiso. So pirish hachita haniklefes umuvushelis. You take the wheat kernel, you remove the bran, you cook it, and you basically make a farina. If it pass, b'mokam kaf. So you don't have spoons. You want to use a piece of bread to pick up the daisa. V'hushirchol hapas hachakach. You can't then throw out the bread. It's only mutter if you're going to actually eat the bread as well. V'madatim ochlam. They don't wait till you finish eating all of the dice to eat the bread. Each time they put some the dice in their mouth, they take a little bit of the bread as well. And then whatever's left over at the end, they make sure they eat it as well. We said before, you can use bread as long as it doesn't make it repulsive, that it's not usable. Other people might find it uncomfortable to use, but he doesn't mind eating it afterwards. So that's mutter, but he doesn't eat it, nobody else is going to eat it, and then you wait, it comes out that you have actively undermined the use of this food. So there's the one issue of that you're making the bread potentially unusable, so then that's not a problem because you're going to eat it. But there's another element, just the idea of using bread, using food, not as food, but using food as a stick. Maybe that itself is considered something which is improper to do. That's what they're worried about. So therefore, the in a pas, the kilo bowl of office is a pas. If they eat a little bit of the bread each time, it comes out more that it's like they're eating. It's like eating a sandwich. I'm not using the bread to hold the meat. That's how you eat the meal. So over here, I'm eating my daisa with my bread. Whatever left over of the bread, which you have not nibbled on as you take the daisa, you have to finish the bread yourself because other people will not eat it. And again, it'll be wasted if you don't eat it. Okay, Dalit. Mamshichim yain b'tzinoros lifnei chosin v'kala. They would make a tube which was, I guess, somewhat see-through, and they would pour wine through it, you know, when you have these, and it would look very pretty. So they want to do that in front of the Chosam Kalo. If he had seen her, but you can't let the wine then spill out into the ground. There has to be some type of a container which will catch the wine as it comes out on the bottom. You can throw, they would throw kernels in front of the Chosam Kalo, so they can be kernels. Kloyas are, you take the kernels and you roast them, so they're edible. That caramelizes them and that they become edible, or it grows them or nuts. So you can do it in the summertime when it's dry, and they're not going to become all. They might get a little bit dusty, so you'll pick it up and you wash it off and eat them. But in the winter, they're going to land in the mud, and again, them not being eaten, they become meas, and therefore if you wouldn't do this, you've actively damaged the food. It's all talking about the kernels, but if you have a something which you already made into a dough, you can't throw pieces of some type of cake or whatever it is in front of the Chosam Kalo, because it's going to land on the ground and become mias. Okay, Yutes. The reason why they would do this, because it acts like a simon toy, b'shimosich shalvosin b'tevosin. It's like it flows, like the beautiful wine flows. Their peace and their happiness should flow. Talking about the cedar was something that it wouldn't. You make it out of certain materials, it'll absorb the flavor, etc. Or if you make it, you just flow it on the ground, which, you know, you make a nice big ditch on the ground to flow it in. That you can't do, because that'll make it mias.
So if it's a simon tov, if they're not doing it, it would be negative, I would imagine.
That's an interesting thought. It's just an interesting philosophical question. Every time you have to do something for simon tov, if you don't do it, it's a simon ra. I don't think it's a simon ra necessarily. Okay.
Well, not that it's a simon ra necessarily, but it's withholding the goodwill that comes with
Okay, that's true. If you don't, you have some type of container to catch the liquid at the end, so then you're wasting food, you're damaging food. So you can't do it in the winter because shini masim. Abisha goes and yeshem klipa ben ochel shabasech nimus. You're talking about a nuts inside of their shell, so even if it lands in mud, but it doesn't affect the food inside. But the whole thing is, the ground is so dirty, people just don't pick it out of the ground. People throw raisins at the chosin, or in front of the chosin. Apparently, you used to throw that at the chosin, in front of the chosin. And when he gets them after on the Shabbos before his chasna, the ifruf, Mishabur says that if you throw raisins when they land on the ground, they become meus, so that would be improper to do. Okay. But logus close, you can't throw gluskas. Gluskos, which is baked items, any time of the winter or summer, that you can't do. Okay. Hey, azarkim chitim lechasanim. So the zarshal yizur go ella ben mokem naki. When you throw the chitim in front of the chasin, it has to be, the place is clean. As opposed to, again, if it's going to land in a place which is very dirty, has droppings, whatever it is, you're not going to pick them out. And you have to sweep them out. You can't leave them there. Because otherwise they're going to be wasted. And we got Mechab to deal with Haki, and to Ellis, Masha Zarek, and Mokam Haki, throwing into a clean place if you don't soup it out afterwards and get and retrieve them, what you accomplish. Okay. Simon Kuf Ayan Beis. The person started to eat without a bracha. Shachach Mehichnes Mashkin Losakpi Bilo Bracha. Person forgot that he and didn't realize and started drinking, put the liquid into his mouth without a bracha. So, spitting it out, and once it's in your mouth, it has saliva, etc. Nobody else is going to use it. You can't really move it to the side and make a bracha. Liquid that doesn't really it'll fall, it'll spill out, etc. So loch is berlin. So you swallow them. So that those items you will not make a bracha rishon on. If that's all you drink, you're not planning to drink anymore, so you will not make a bracha rishon for retroactively. If you're planning to eat more, you'll make a bracha for what was going forward, but not, it doesn't work for retroactive. Zat mishabura, zat the ramah, v'yeshamim the mavorach aleim b'chein nira ikur. Some say no, that you make a bracha after you swallow them. You make a bracha retroactively. There are more paskins that you would do that. We'll see in Mishapur that that's not the psak of the majority of the poskim. You do not make a bracha retroactively. So to Mishapur, let's do this. Let's do Sif Beis and then we'll go back to Mishapur. Sif Beis. Shachach mehichlus akum masach pi b'loy bracha. So a person, instead of putting drink and liquid into his mouth, he put food. It's a type of item which if you would spit it out, it's not going to become mias. So yiflatano mivarach alav. So then the halacha is you should take it out of your mouth and then make a bracha, then eat it again. However, if it's something which if you would expectorate, it'll become nimus. So you move it to the side of your mouth, you make a bracha, even though preferably you want to make a bracha with your mouth, nothing in your mouth, but over here you have no choice. Okay, Mishaburis have gotten olive. So by the liquid you swallow them. She after the poultice, because you can't spit it out. Demimasi umafsidi, because spitting it out, it'll make the liquid will be found to be repulsive, and you'll end up wasting it. You can't put it in one of your cheeks and make a bracha. Come on, we say as well, like we say by the food, you move it to the side. And you can't talk when you have liquid in your mouth, it spills out. Never we allow you to swallow it, not to waste the food, and that you can't make a bracha under these circumstances. If it's a very small amount of liquid, which you can keep in your mouth while you're making a bracha, you should do so. Okay. So you swallow them, you don't make a bracha afterwards to work retroactively on what you drank. Some argue like this. If you don't have any other liquid to drink, there's only liquid you have, and you already put it in your mouth, and we don't want you to lose the liquid because you need the drink. However, if you have other liquid to replace this liquid, so you should spit it out, and it'll be nifsed. That's better, even though it's nifsed, that's better than being the henna from this world without a bracha. The Mishabura comes out that's the correct thing to do. So bracha rishana. Hatam the miachash kar bolah hamashkin. You don't make a bracha afterwards. Because once you swallow it already, kar nitcha mimeno mitzvah of bracha rishana. There's no mitzvah of bracha rishana anymore. Or bracha chedet sarach lebarach im hoi kashir ayin lakum mitzvah rishana. The fact that you don't make a bracha rishana doesn't preclude you from making a bracha chrona. So if you ate enough for bracha chrona, you would have to make a bracha chrona. There are more brought. You swallow it and make the bracha after the bracha rishana after you ate it. So you you swallow it, and you make the bracha mishnah afterwards. If you realize at the end of the meal that you're not making a bracha mishnah, it's too late. So why are you making a bracha? That was the case. A person ate the whole meal and then realized after he finished the meal he hadn't made a bracha mishnah. So nothing to make a bracha mishnah. But over here, the person realized while the item is in his mouth. At that moment, he has responsibility for bracha mishnah with an impossibility of doing so. So the chiyuv took effect. So their argument is saying, since the chiyuv became actually effective on the person, he was aware of it and he knows he's supposed to do so, so then he can make a bracha after he swallows. We're not going to let him spit it out. We're going to tell him to swallow it. But you make a bracha immediately after you swallow it, going back on what you just ate. That's the ikrub shat. However, the majority of the poskim follow the first opinion that you do not spit it, that you do not make a bracha after you ate. All you do is make a bracha achrona, but no bracha rishon. Okay. We said by food, if it's a type of an item which if you spit it out, it will not become nimus. You haven't chewed it yet, and it's like beans or something which is hard or hard still. So spit it out, make a bracha. The Mor says, we want your mouth to be empty. The whole mouth should be full of the praise of Hashem. Because of Eshkol, so obviously, because I want you to have a full mouth of nothing else in your mouth, because I want you to say the bracha clearly with your whole mouth, just about, as opposed to just, you know, mumbling it. When you're mumbling, you're not using your full mouth. You're going, oh, right? We don't see the mouth being used.
Forgive me for, but last night we talked about the idea when you're making the brachas of the Shemona Esrei, no one's supposed to hear you. Yet when you're making a bracha on food or drink, you want everybody to hear you so they can say amen. Am I the only one who thinks that there's, I mean, I understand when you're davening in Shemona, so you don't want anybody else to disturb anybody else. But suppose there's a conversation going on and you make a bracha out loud and you're disturbing the conversation. Why is this different? Why is this, you should dafka make a bracha out loud on an apple, but you shouldn't make a bracha that anybody can hear you in the middle of Shemona Esrei?
That's a good question. You know, Shemona Esrei is a tefillah. Tefillah is a private conversation between you and your creator requesting something. So we learn from Chana that the Himan Debar Saliba and Bekhalal, it says Bekhalal, her voice was not heard. That the proper way to have a conversation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu for tefillah for Bakasha should be private. This is not a Bakasha, it's a praise of Hashem. Praise of Hashem is something which praise alone really should be said in a way which is public.
So when we do, let's say, Pesukah de Zimra, those should be said out loud?
It should be said. It shouldn't be said out loud. To the point of here is not screaming it out. It's just saying it clearly. And you know, the Mishmaris does. Even Pesukah de Zimra, the person should not be screaming it. You should say it in a normal voice.
What about the Shema?
Shema, the meaning is to raise your voice, because this way it helps you join together with other people together, all being Mekabel Malchus Shemayim. The real purpose of raising your voice is more to join with other people. They call other people to join you, type of an idea.
So, just to get this straight, so Shemona Esrei should be completely silent. For Pesukah de Zimra, I'm allowed to be, I guess, a little louder?
And talk a conversational voice.
A conversational voice. So there's no problem with anybody hearing my Pesukah de Zimra?
No.
And for Shema, Bedavka people should hear me and join with me.
Right, that's the point. Okay. Let's go to you have something in your mouth which, like berries or grapes, that, you know, once in your mouth, if you spit them out, they're going to be found to be unpleasant. So you should not spit them out. You move them to the side and you make a bracha as such. Okay. Okay, we'll get to mayim later on. But there's mayim in the middle. So that the mechaber mayim emtsayim rishus. There's no chiyuv to wash your hands in the middle of the meal, but b'hanimel b'tav shelo tav. So it's all the same types of food. So one, so you just want to clean your hands. You want to wash? You don't want to wash, but it's up to you. Abu b'tav shelo gvino chayva. I'm your day simen kupetas. But if you're going to be switching from milchitz to fleishigs, so you have to wash your hands because we assume that there is. Maybe there's something
like milk residue or something
residue which are left in your hands. So the mishabur rishus rotsa noitel rotsa ino noitel. So you don't have to wash. It's up to you. Okay, I'm here. They say pay that siv gimel. But something's brought by God now. So what is he telling me to look in every day over there? So the mechaber only said that the time you have to wash is the actual cheese to a meat dish. What about a cheese dish to a meat dish? So we have to clean out your mouth, but do you have to wash your hands? Well, I don't really, I'm not having really actual cheese, just having cheese which has been melted into the dish.
Like macaroni and cheese or pizza or something like that?
Pizza, something like that. The Shomni's bar by God, the Femen Ogeno, Yeshitul Yodim, Afila Ben Tavshel, Shagbin, La Tavshel, Shabasar, Shirachirov, Imagea Behen Beyodim. Even if it's a Tavshel, it's not straight cheese, but it's a dish which has cheese as an ingredient. If you touch the food, you should wash your hands. So the only case where the halacha is considered a rishus that you don't have to wash is that both of the dishes are of the same type, the same gender, they're both mochag or both pleishig. So in regards to this, so we learned Hilchos Shuas, we spoke about this, that was a while ago, Siman Tav Sadi Dalet. Yeah, that was a while ago. About 370 simanim ago. The Ramah shita is that a person can eat in one meal milchiks and then fleishiks. You can start the meal with milchiks and then you can switch to fleishiks. You can't, obviously, the other way around you can't, because you can't have milchiks after fleishiks with a time limit of 6 hours. But from milchiks to fleishiks, you're allowed to switch. It's allowed to be in the same meal. There's a requirement of cleaning out your mouth, which is done with kinuach and adacha. And if you've touched the food, you should wash your hands. It says mikra din if it's daytime, and you can check your hands, you can do that as well. But we preferably eat by daytime. We wash our hands.
Wait, forgive me. I have always been taught that you absolutely could not have meat and milk in the same meal together.
I would say that's this is the opinion of the Ramah. The Shach in Yeredeya brings from a Zoyar, the Zoyar says that you should not have it together in one meal, even if you would do all these steps, you should not have it together in the same meal. It should be two separate meals.
And how long should there be between meals, or is there a minimum shear between meals?
The language of the Shach is, the Zoyar says B'shat Echada, which sometimes translates as an hour, but what the there, the Shach says, it seems to me that even half an hour, is sufficient. But what's interesting is the Ramah actually says the minhag of Shtei Lechem, which we have
on the Shabbos.
The reason why we have milchiks on Shuas. Everybody knows the reason why we have milchiks on Shuas. Well, the Ramah apparently didn't know the reason everybody says, right? So the Ramah Nebuch, who quoted the minhag, the Ramah says the reason why I have milchiks is since they brought a korban of shtei lechem on Shuas. And the halacha is when you have meat, bread with a milchik meal, you may not use it for a fleishig meal. So they would start the meal with milchiks, use the bread, and now that bread cannot be used for fleishigs. They would switch the middle of the meal to fleishigs and have to bring a new bread, so they end up eating two different breads during the meal. So during a regular meal, even though you have lechem machine, you don't necessarily cut both challahs, but over here you must use two different breads because you start the meal with milchiks, then you switch to fleishigs, you're forced to use two different breads during one meal. And you're mekayim a zecher for the shei lechem, and that's why we have milchiks on Shuas, the Ramah says. That's the whole reason we have milchiks on Shuas, is to force you to have two breads. That's the whole reason, Ramah says. Nebuchadnezzar Ramah didn't know all of the other Ramahs, everybody said after him, but that's the reason the Ramah says. Okay? So,
to force you to have two different breads?
Because you cannot use the same bread for milchiks and for fleishiks. So here you have one meal. You started the meal with milchik. You use one bread. Right? Again, you have that the lechem mishnah, but you don't have to eat both breads. But here you start the meal with one bread, because you started with milchik, then you switch to fleishes in the same meal, and you have to remove that bread, because that's a milchik bread. And because it's been used with milchik, it's considered that there might be touched milchik, and therefore you can't use it with fleishes. And you're forced to bring a second bread for your fleishing part of the meal. So you end up having two different breads during your meal. So you have a zeichrim to the shtei lechem, the korban shtei lechem, which was brought on Shavuos. That's the reason the Ramah says we have milchiks on Shavuos. You never heard them before in your life, right? Right. But that's the Ramah, which is the source of all the Ranhagim. It says the reason. Like, it's like, you know, like, I just work here. Okay. Okay. Don't ask me why. I have no idea why. But I can just tell you that there's one, at least one house in Kent Mill, which I know that's the meaning that they do on Shavuos.
I'm guessing it's the house we're in right now.
You're right. Yes, exactly. Okay.
Clearly, I just stepped in, but is there any chance that he's also sort of extending that to why we do Shabbos to lechem?
No. So Shabbos to lechem mishnah because you have a little lechem mishnah because of the mon. But here on Shavuos, there was a korban of shtei lechem. There was a korban brought in the base of mikdash together with a shlomim. They would bring two the Torah said there's a mitzvah of bringing two loaves.
Yeah. Separate issue.
Yep. Right, a separate issue. Then this is zecher for that.
These are the two chometzdika loaves. It's the only time that chometzdika loaves are used in the base mikdash.
Correct. Okay, base. Sif base. Bein basul adogim chayra lito. So between basur and dogim, between having fish and then having meat, if you've used your hands, okay, so you have to wash your hands. Mishum kashna davar acher. The Mora says that if a person doesn't do that, he could get saras. Chamira sakanta misura vayner day. So we have to take this very seriously. This is a halo. This is Chazal. We're concerned about a sakana issue.
I'll say this again. Hold on. If between the meat and the fish, you have to wash your hands, or you can get saras. I thought the only way you can get saras was from speaking Lashon Hara.
No. There's many ways you can get saras. Okay, the Medrash has a whole list of eight different variations you can get tzaras for, besides Lashon Hara. There's many ways, many different ways. If one person wants to get it, they can get it. Okay, the Dabar Acher, give them.
Why get it?
The Dabar Acher, tzaras. So, the Dabar Acher is referring to tzaras. Now, I'm not going to rob because of the Hefshab is a name, no ain't Sakana Kolkat, the Bechamas, the Worm, the Shano Tibim, Ayin Sham. So, there's a famous discussion over here. How much do we say that the nature of items have changed, the nature of people have changed, and we don't seem to be affected in the same way they were affected? So he says maybe that's not such an issue nowadays. So regards to washing our hands, we're not makbid necessarily to wash our hands in between. So, however, cleaning out our mouth, we do with the process of kinuach and hadacha in between fish and meat.
What is kinuach and hadacha again?
Kinuach is cleaning out your mouth with a food item, and hadacha is what rinsing out your mouth with a liquid. So you drink something and you eat something. Eat a piece of bread and you drink.
And the schnapps, okay.
Yeah. Okay, but regards to washing the hands, he says we're not necessarily. So let's say the person had touched the fish and then he touches the meat. We're not makbid that he has to, that you can't use the meat. You should not do that. But you're not. We have them there in your day. You know, the meat doesn't become osur.
But in theory, that could cause tzaras.
Right.
What is the
quote? What, Adam? You should be careful. Yeah, you should wash it. If it touched the plate, just wipe it off. Be careful that wiping it off is sufficient. You don't have to, run to the kitchen and wash. As long as it's clean, you wipe it off. It's clean. Okay.
What is the quote unquote avera of touching meat and or touching fish?
No. It's not avera. Just to tell you physical reality that this could cause tzaras.
It can cause tzaras.
Yeah. Gimel, call it the worm. Listen, I didn't. Again, I just work here. Okay.
Called I'm, the just, I'm just trying to understand because my
it's not a very concept. This is just simply the nature of this is it causes saras.
But I thought saras was a physical indicator that you had done an avera, like speaking lashon hara. It's a physical sign that you did something wrong.
I understand, but so now you're learning that it's possible to get it in a natural way as well.
There's something fishy about this. I'm sorry.
Okay. Gimel, kol ha'dvarim noigim be'achronim noigim imsuyim. Whatever halachas apply to my achronim, which we'll see later on, apply to my imsuyim, which again we have my imsuyim in regards to changing from milchiks to fleishiks. Bein lahokol bein lahachmer. The chumras you don't need a kli. Excuse me, the kula you don't need a kli, and you don't have to wash the whole hands. And chitzit is not ma'akev. So that's the kulas. The chumras is you're not supposed to use hot water. You shouldn't put on gabi karka. Fine. Now, chus mihesachadash, supposed to be msoyim emnesha dain rotsa lechol biyodim shrichim shimu. The one thing which is different from timayim achronim and my emsoyim that. There's a problem over here. Since you're planning to continue to eat, you can't do it in such a way that's considered that you have taken your focus off the shmir of your yadayim based on the original netilah. Whereas my mechernim, yeah, you basically have been mesiach das from the meal by washing my mechernim. Well, this we'll see later on. Since the goal over here is to remove any residue, so the residue is in the water, you must get rid of the water before you continue eating. Whereas in Ramakhan, you don't have to dry your hands. Okay, let's see, Mr. Baruch. So, cut in the hay. So, what's relevant for us is between. If a person had cheese and then he's going to a fleishig dish, ben lahokol anushen tzarach l'tila b'kli, you don't need a kli, but gam raka perikasheni, you only wash to the knuckles, just the fingers, not the whole, not the palm of the hand. Gam chitzitim like akabem b'diavon, and the chitzit is not ma'akev. But hezchadas affects the imsiim, it doesn't affect our credit. So what does this mean? The hezchadas affects the imsiim. So Mishnah Berurah cut inside. Supposed to lemsoyim, and a gavana sheim istiach daito la'achar shehitol lemsoyim niftol rintilos samsoyim. We're not worried about being mivatal the tis samsoyim. That your mistiach das after you wash from the soyim, so that you have to wash again a second time. The ma'ichus lemhesach daito real kaponim yodav nikias mikvina. Over here, it's a cleanliness goal. So who cares whether your mistiach das or not? So it can't mean that. So what does it mean? Rotsal armor she mistiach daito mishmiras yodav. Niftal Ritila Rishana, the Maimon Rishana. The problem over here is, if by doing this, you've lost your focus on your original Natila, so you lost your Maimon Rishana. Koshavur B'kamam Mekamis has Hadas Mishiras Yadav Paisal Natila. If a person has lost awareness of the fact that he's keeping his hands safe for Achila purposes, so you have to wash again. Most of the Pshitahu. So that's what it means. I mean, that's not a kiddush. We said it before. You stopped your meals. So you're no longer washing your hands. Who cares? You're washing your hands, but who cares? But over here we care. Even though it's obvious. Over there we don't care. You're not eating anymore. Again, I'm not sure even after all that how the Shabbat answered 100%. Like, what's the point of saying it? Like, it's so obvious. Like, what's the Havamina? And Shemzim Svichim Niku, you have to dry your hands. Because we had before this idea that a person eats their food with their hands wet, and the moisture and the hand gets on the food, it makes the food Migus. So you have to dry your hands. Then the Rambam said that it has to be dafkamayim. Shashar mashkin, other liquids, potentially amounts of shemenim, they have some fat in them. And a menachem is a shuman of a Michael. They don't remove the fattiness on your hands. The goal of it is not the fattiness necessarily, but it's more like the dirtiness. All the liquids will remove that as well. There are many which are do take the opinion of the Rama. Let's just start the first sif. You could find out. Yain shebasecha suda mevarach lo brei gofen vein apas poitra. Wine is not, even though it's during the meal, and normally everything during the meal is under the umbrella of the bread, but wine, because of its chashivas, it needs its own brei peri gofen and during the meal. Zot mishabura sekat nal vein apas poitra. Hainu. If you're eating it actually to help the meal, that you should have some liquid in your meal and it helps absorb the food, so it's really part of the meal. It's during the meal, helping the meal. So it's clearly secondary. It's part of the meal. So everything which is part of the meal normally goes under the umbrella of the bread. The chashivas of wine requires it gets its own bracha. You added kavana when you made the amotzi, that you're including all of your drinks. Does it make a difference? So it's chashiv. Take a look at the sharatzian and sekat and gimel. What's its chashivas? And they should go and bracha la'atzma. It's the Mor's lashon. It itself stands as for a bracha. Behind us, come and come as mavorach and love. I'll be she'ain on sarach lishtiyah in kiddush Abdullah. You're not trying to drink right now. Bigger than the kiddush, you don't have to drink. The goal over there is not so much the drinking, but to say the bracha of kiddush ala kois. We drink afterwards because like it's not nice to ignore the kois. But your goal wasn't drinking. Your goal was saying kiddush or Abdullah. So this becomes the unit, the item which you can make brachas on. So that's the chashivas to it. Tais the pirshu, tanamash mavorach al yain b'yoch mechenes b'yoch b'yogofen. The Ben Yonah says, different pshat. I mean, b'yoch b'yogofen is a very unique, it's a very, very limited bracha. It applies only to one thing. It applies only to wine.
And grape juice.
Yeah, well, that's because we look at grape juice as a form of wine. There's no other, besides bread, there's no other bracha like that, which is specifically for one item. Like, Brei Pri Adama includes all of the different types of, you know, anything which is an Adama, Mazarnas, etc. But here it's only one item, he gets his own bracha. So that is the Cheshivas that we're referring to. Okay, let's hold it here.